Welcome to the Business of Collaboration podcast. In this podcast, we try and answer the following questions. What is innovation? How do people collaborate and work together? Who is behind the most innovative ideas, technology, and knowledge? We are curious about people. How do they innovate? How do they create a new technology or acquire new knowledge? We give them a voice and a platform to share their stories because they are superheroes.
This is your host, Jara Pascual, founder and CEO of CollabWith. Today, we have the pleasure to talk to Victoria Geruch, co-founder and CEO of Utrick, a marketing tool to collect deep feedback based on emotional intelligence from customers. We are talking with Victoria Geruch about how to understand that how your customer feels matters to your business, to manage finance inside a startup and how difficult it is to sell something completely new, how to sell innovative solutions, and how to motivate your team in the long run of the startup. Do you want to know? Listen to our podcast with Victoria Geruch.
Hey, welcome, Victoria Geruch, founder of Utrick, to the Business of Collaboration podcast.
Yeah, so amazing to be here. Thanks for calling me.
So now the first question, because I think it's super important to know, what is Utrick?
Yeah, Utrick is a digital marketing platform. We help marketing specialists to raise retention with their existing customers because it's tricky for them. And specifically how we do it, we get the emotional of their customers and help marketing specialists to treat it very correctly regarding the GDPR and very personalized manner in order to communicate with their customers afterwards.
Yeah, and why did you create Utrick? What is your story?
Oh, yeah, it was a long story. I will start from this, that we met with my CTO, my co-founder, about 17 years ago at the university. We have like no idea about what startup is. We just go to chemistry department and learn very diligently our science there with all of the techniques, methods, and all of those stuff. Later on, in society appeared such thing as data science, and we have seen a lot of parallel like algorithm methodologies, etc., that we learned already and during our university. So we have like a pretty good data science background. After university, we started our own IT development company. So before Utrick, we have about 10 years very professional in IT developments. We've done a lot of platforms to other clients and managed for their business solutions to cover with IT tools. And the third one, as we were consulting those companies, we had our marketing skills as well. So eventually we get intersection of three great skills: IT development, data science, and marketing. A lot of ideas that we come up with, and the Utrick is like concentration of all of our strong skills that we have, and we wish to bring something new to the society in order to make this whole world of communication between corporates and clients more empathetic. That's how we come up with idea.
Yeah, that's super cool. I think that's why we can say each other, because I am working a lot in emotional intelligence and you too. And I think, I don't know, randomly I send emails sometime about, okay, we have this webinar, this master's class about emotional intelligence for artificial intelligence. And then you jump immediately into the, what is this?
Yeah. I don't lose any, you know, possibility to be, first of all, to be helpful to somebody that's doing some great job. And after that, to do my own PR.
But yeah.
Second one, but very close.
Yeah, and as well the community, no? I think like we are working on the same area, like emotional intelligence applied completely different ways. I think it's super cool to share this kind of, you know, knowledge and passion. And I think this is the part when you get, you know, some kind of connected with people. And I was super curious to see this customer emotion analytics, you know, that was super fascinating. So can you explain what is the customer emotion analytics?
Yeah. It's very close to what right now everyone is using. So I'll start from classical one and after that transform to what customer emotional analytics is. Right now, everyone, marketing person, they are using behavioral analytics, and it's more about at what pages your users stopped, like whether they go to main page and stop looking to your website and go away. Or they start from main page, go to a product page, and after that check out, something like this kind of user journey. But this attitude is all about at what pages the user were going to, what pages he closed after that. This is all about the interaction with the website, and that's it. But the whole picture about whether the buyer is ready to buy or not is all about his emotional state. And there is interesting statistics about from professor from Harvard Business Review and school, and he indicated specifically 95% of buyers' decisions are made by emotions. So as you can
95
yeah, and as you can see, like, this only 5% is something that person do regarding some kind of effects, like his decisions are based on that. And the whole classical marketing procedure of behavioral analytics is based on this 5%, and they are doing something with it. But 95 are hidden. So that's why customer emotion analytics is about getting those emotions from the customer in the most GDPR reliable way, and treat with them very politely and in order to form the whole process of building relationship with those customers. Yeah, it could take me for ages to go into details, but the main difference is this one.
And I remember, because before this interview, we had a meeting to understand this, and with our psychologist, Celia, like, we are working with psychologists not only for the trainings and the application of emotional intelligence for innovation, collaboration, and entrepreneurship, but as well how we communicate inside the platform. You know, like, this is very important. And we analyzed all your data you are gathering and how you present the data, and it was super interesting. Like, your analytics is getting really a very good shape of how you are making your customers feel, depending of the actions and the services and the colors and the products you are offering, and having this link is pretty amazing. I think for me as well, it was how can we apply this not only on questionnaires but as well inside the platform. When you are reviewing profiles and you want to collaborate with someone, and having this kind of emotional information, like, we believe this is key for the success of the collaboration. This is, I think, it was pretty amazing to have as well this anonymized, you know, data on how you can match people. This is, I think, for me, you know, looking at more entrepreneur and techie part of this, that for me was super, super, super mega interesting.
Glad that you like it. Yeah, I like to share every time the whole, you know, how this trick can be applied to my businesses. It triggers me instantly to share the whole very briefly idea, or to have a call and to show, because, you know, you can heard it 7 million of times, but when you specifically go and see some kind of results, specifically in your niche or a very close one, that's the best way.
Yeah, totally. So, and this is the question is coming from innovation perspective. How innovative is this technology and what is the uniqueness?
Yeah, sure. The innovation that we have in our U-Trick, and we were building it for 2.5 years, and it's our own R&D because of the science background, as I shared before. So we have this kind of technology that can, from just mouse movement and touch of interaction in browser, desktop, or smartphone, or tablet, we can indicate what kind of mood, what kind of emotional state the user has right now. In a comparison to our closest competitors, they all, like one, they're doing the same. They get emotions just from video. But with the video, you have a lot of things like lower response rate because the customer don't want to share a video or approve it, etc. The second one, lower internet connection, because for video you need to high speed of internet, and while responding is answering through 3G internet, it's not worth his time and his money for internet to do this, and etc. So this is a big two difference. So we are doing it without video, and our competitors do it only with video, this gathering of emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the trick. I mean, because this is difficult.
Yeah, and I can even share some idea, because the whole innovation, it's not about something that you sit down only and reading, and boom, just from after one night you get it. You read the articles, you argue as your other C-level members, you go to park in order to have fresh air and to discuss it, but also you look how something happened in your life. And one of the parallel things, like one of the situations that I like to compare with our algorithm is like when you see that in real life the person is drunk, it's not about you see how he moves. In the parallel of our algorithm, it's not about only mouse movement. It's also when you came to the person and he mumbled something not relevant to language that and to the culture that you are living in. So it's another like manners of interaction in browser, like the second one, scrolling, for instance. And also you need to check whether he have some other behavioral patterns. So this is the core for innovation. You just see something, or I don't know, look in your life, some situations, or interact with your friends, or see some movies, etc. And after that, some wow, yeah, and you get some tiny thing to add as a puzzle to your startup.
Totally. This is happening to myself as well. I think you are getting into the when you have this mind like it's connecting dots all the time. And I think this is the part of innovation, the most super cool thing is like you see something in another industry, you know, in a newsletter somewhere, or I don't know where, and you say, oh my God, how I can translate this to my company?
Yeah, because it's triggered something and you don't get it totally how you can use it, but you feel it, like you have gut feeling that it could be used here.
Yeah, totally. You know, even the... now in fashion and Instagram is very popular this kind of TV sales, you know, like you are selling your clothes and you explain how you made it, and you know, all this kind of brand explain all details, and I was thinking how I can do this with a platform. You know, it's not so cool like a t-shirt, you know, like but maybe that's the challenge, you know, to use your creativity to extrapolate.
Yeah, I can show you afterwards some link to amazing fashion startup, and they done like create your own dress with just from our mobile app, and the whole thing is they tracking your routes, like what kind of points you were visiting during the day, and after the map, it was as it was printed on this dress. So they joined, you know, this digital things and the dress. So maybe something you could print on the dress in order, you know, here is how looks our account. You in order to create your own, you need to click on this sexy button. Something like this.
So, and this going more into business, how do emotions affect businesses and organizations?
Yeah, that's an amazing question. Specifically, from a helicopter view, if right now we have this kind of classical way of making businesses, when in each business we have people, so we stuck with this thing of what kind of emotions they have. Because people have bad days, people have good days, and they could bring you, for instance, more value if they have more happiness at their work, or they could even interrogate or make a bottleneck and a very huge headache for you, and you didn't, as an owner, didn't know about this. It's a perspective, for instance, from HR area. From a perspective of marketing area that we are like mostly targeted in, it's the attitude of your customers. If you would know that those customers are slightly not happy, you could forecast that in several months they will quit your SaaS platform, your services, your product. So this is a very important thing. So you are not asking them via the telephone, via phone or the email, like whether you feel good, bad, etc. It's not their job to to make all of this forecast of sales to your company. They just feel like good, pretty good or pretty bad, and they will not tell you this, you know, white or black picture. They will also like try to be polite, some of them, or other times to be even more aggressive than it should be because they have a bad day. The most important that you need to understand this unconscious emotions, and that's what specifically we do in order to understand what your company is doing good, because all of the topics that related to this, well, for instance, question that was about new products, that all people was super engaged, like the majority of people, and the topic that was related somehow to sales process, it was super like depressing, negative, the users were unfocused during those questions. This is the risk for your business. So that's what we help to indicate and to bring it to the table.
And I think it's so important, because I remember for emotional intelligence, one of the key questions is, what is your mood today? And this is even like, you know, the cool thing with technology, like you can know if even without asking.
Yeah.
So, but how does it work? What are the best cases to implement this technology?
So it's working on your trick platform in such way our customers come to our main page, utrick.com, form a demo, we shared all the information that needed, they create an account, create web forms, this first thing, and the second one, the whole emotional analytics will gather without their without any skills that needed from their side, so it will be done automatically. They all they needed is just to put those types of questions that they would like to talk to people, some variants, and send to their customers. Regarding the best cases that our customers are using it for, it's first deep customer feedback, second one, UI leaks research, specifically for user testing. So you could make even better converting website. And the third one is marketing research. Like you can save a lot of money for marketing research work that could be, that should be done for huge companies. but it's struggle for small and medium companies to make it like frequently, time by time, etc. So we can save a lot of money within your company.
Yeah, I think because I was working in user labs many years, and if you get, you know, you have this tracking eye technologies and everything, but if you can get from surveys or extra this emotional information, this is very useful. This is incredibly useful as well, not only for the features and functionalities, but as well for the colors. Because in different cultures, you have different colors experiences.
Yeah, for sure. And no gadgets are needed for those research, for those touch points with your clients. So it's not invasive.
So, but now we change. So as you are a woman, a startup founder, I would like to ask about, let's talk about finance.
Okay.
How are you managing your accounting and how is your funding strategy?
We were bootstrapping for a long period during making all of this research, all of those R&D process. I suppose the biggest issue that we didn't get that, because we were like, while we were searching for investors from day zero, like just communicating, etc., just wish to understand how the whole, you know, magic is happen. And in parallel way, we were doing our R&D. So I can recommend not like, you could start communicating with investors, but investors don't give money for research. For any scientific process, it's not their job to put money to you. If you only have, you know, your own financials, so you need to be ready to bootstrap. That's what we were doing. And after that, we got some small traction, and we were preselected at range of huge and very, very known accelerators. Finally, we were not selected at those. I will later on share with you in what programs we got into. But that press selections back then, about a year ago, gave us our first investor. So we were pretty close to signing sales agreements. We have a letter of intentions from our customers, and we were some press selections from huge acceleration programs. So at this stage, we get our first USA-based investor. After that, we get just in several months, as it's happened to be, you know, it's like when you have a little success, another one is much, much easier to get. Of course, you couldn't put your hands on the table because you need to do a lot of things. But we got our second investor from UK region, at the end of 2020, we finally get to an amazing acceleration program from Startup Wise Guys. It's a huge European startup ecosystem, and we are right now continuing into. The whole acceleration program and managing with all of these things. They became our third investor. So that's regarding about our, you know, period of bootstrapping, period with investors. Everything is like totally new page. You have some insights from the first period of your life, but you have so many achievements that you need to get to reach for the next stage. Just to remember about the bigger goal, why you started. So all of this thing that pushes you to all of this way, just remember it and go forward. That's it.
And because you are doing innovation, which is something that is not in the market yet. You know, like you cannot go to a supermarket and buy emotional intelligence solution, you know, for your company.
It's a bad thing, but yeah, we were working on this together.
Yeah. As you are bringing to the market a very innovative solution, how difficult it is to sell something new?
Yeah. As we were totally know that it would be a hard way. So just from day zero, even when we just find out that this kind of vector will be ours, we start to negotiate with a lot of big corporates, and we have, you know, this no fear about they will stole your idea or something, because at super early stage, we don't know where we are going. So it was no fear about this. Right now, we continue like with some great guys. We already signed agreements, and those are from marketing research agencies. So you could feel the vibe. It's not for some companies we can be helpful regarding the marketing research, but regarding enterprises, they will definitely go to some specific agencies. So we are not replacing marketing agency at all. We're just complementing them, and even maybe prepare the whole market, because medium companies could grow and became bigger. And well, while they were using your trick, they will feel the smell of the data, and they will need more. So that's why they will instantly go to our partners. So that's my answer to you. The whole partners network building is just a must. And all of those communities, for instance, like Collab With that you are building, it's an amazing and great place where you can meet these people. You just need to be honest that you are like at the stage of idea, you've done some pre-MVP, MVP, you have sales, you have small sales, big sales, etc. And when you share those kind of things that you already achieved, some of people will definitely send you a positive vibe at least, so it could be great. Some of them will give you some feedback, like whether you see this kind of blind spot, and it helped us a lot, because like before acceleration program, we were accelerated by so many individuals like you and this communications. And the third part, you could find an amazing partners that could help you for some like joint points of interaction with their business, and you can go and get your pie regarding the share at the market. So it's amazing, all of those things that you are doing. So thank you for that.
So, like, I think, like, we are talking about emotional intelligence as well, and we know both because we discussed this in several conversations. Like, being a founder and entrepreneur is hard work, you know, as well for your mindset if you are doing innovation. And this is not only like we are saying ourselves, as well other founders are saying this. If we are talking about innovation, entrepreneurship is bringing innovation to the market, and this is not easy. How are you maintaining your motivation and energy to overcome all these challenges with no income over and over again?
Yeah, I try to do who I can help with today, and it's helped me great, because there is employees, because there is partners, there is potential customers, and those groups, they have their own issues. So it's not about, you know, me selling all the time. Okay, you trick, buy, not buy. Okay, goodbye. You trick, buy, not buy. Like, I'm not this kind of attitude person. But building all of those relationships helped me to understand really what bothers those people, what they are struggling with. And I every time come up with, okay, so you trick can help to cover this kind of thing with employees, because I can create this platform and it will help, like this way I share my ideas, and in such way, you know, I'm developing other types of ideas how I could develop my own product, because it's my baby, it's the core of what we're doing. But from the other side, I show them that I'm like treating them good, and I like to be at the same way with them. Some people said that I'm crazy a bit, but when they see that the whole attitude is changing from time to time and it could be in so many creative ways to be used, they stop smiling and say, "Oh, really? And what kind of insights you get out of that? Oh, it could be done in such way." Yeah, so this kind of thing, it's inspired me even more. First one, how to help, and after that, see how it triggers the people's emotions from using and interacting with our product.
Yeah, totally. I think this is a very good point, because how you get the motivation and energy is with your passion and this kind of empathy with your users, because you are there for them. And if you are super honest and open with the conversation, is when you are getting back this energy and this feedback. And that's the way to share. I think it's very good, like you mentioned this. Like it is kind of like you feel how they are feeling in the positive and in the negative, you know, how the pain and how you solve the pain and how they are very happy with this. And this is, and that's really important for your team. So this is, I think, one so critical point. I think that's very important. Yeah, thank you, Victoria, for saying
that. We try to, if you have some other tips, yeah, I would like to hear from your part as well.
Myself, I think this one, like you mentioned, is very important. And as well, the sense of what is the purpose, you know, and how, and managing the energy. Like if I am all the time working non-stop, 7 days, like 24 hours almost, is you are getting tired and you lose the energy. So it's very important as well to have this time to do sports, to take care of yourself and to relax to sleep, to be able to have all this energy back. And I think as well, this optimistic, you know, like not losing the track, because if you are very into the loop of working, it could happen like you are losing the track and you cannot see anymore.
Yeah, and the whole emotions, it's feeling by the people instantly. Like if you just copy paste some emails that that you write with, you know, that high level of energy, etc. You copy paste, but right now you're like, oh my god, this email should be sent and you quick. It's somehow it's filled by the people.
So true. That's why it's like, no, I have to have energy, I have to take care of myself, because if not, this is the point, you know, you transfer this energy to the others. And if you don't have a good vibe or energy, it's like you cannot do business.
It's like, I don't know, some kind of situation from a childhood, when you are a small child and you wish to find a new friend and you just wandering in like around your building and try to find with somebody to play, and you with, I don't know, bad emotions or absence of any positive emotion on your face come to other child and said, okay, let's make a friend. No, you have to be in totally energetical state, like, that's one thing. Another thing, you have to something to propose, because they have a lot of playgrounds. You need to have some kind of idea that you wish to share with other child. So the same with startups. Like we have our own idea and we need to share, but from another perspective to other businesses. And all of this playground, but with a bigger adult than a child within, very, very, very close to the whole metaphor.
This is one of the parts, like we explained in the trainings of emotional intelligence for entrepreneurs. Like you have to overcome a shit day if you have a meeting with your customer.
But by the way, this customer that you were hunting for months, so like you were doing a lot of, you know, hard work And even worse, a lot of other like pre-sales managers were doing their job as well. Right now, you're like have zero energy, you have nothing to do. But by the way, what I'm doing, I'm making some push-ups or jumps, like something physical, just, you know, making somebody crazy at my office, but they get used to it. So they know Victoria's will have huge meetings. So she just started going wild. But after that, your body will know that, okay, you have to get this kind of adrenaline because something will coming up. Like the owner of this body have some kind of crazy idea. So we need to take all of the energy back, at least this kind of small, tiny thing, and it will be boom. But the good thing is when you make all of this first push, you gather all of the energy and you have pushed all of this energy, positive energy to your, to the person that you're speaking with, the person gets engaged and it's the whole magic is happening. You like exchanging all of this energy and it's like you being a great speaker with an amazing audience and you exchange the energy. Like you rock star, you're the person that you're speaking rock star, so everyone in win-win situation.
Yeah, totally. So this is so true, totally.
You are listening to the Business of Collaboration podcast, a production from CollabWith. We are an online community helping businesses connect with experts to solve innovation challenges and create consortiums. We do this through a custom-built environment where academics, startups, and businesses collaborate to innovate and accelerate. Together, we break down the barrier between academics and the business world. Innovation has never been so accessible. And now, back to our podcast.
So now we are going to the basic questions in our podcast. What is innovation for you?
Innovation, that something is triggers your mind. And you come up to that from different perspective of your life, and you have lived with this idea for some period, and you find out like different approaches that could be done with this innovations, and that eventually the whole society will get benefit out of this. Not some small tiny people, some group of the people, but the whole society from different perspectives. This innovation for me, it's like more philosophical, but all of those tiny things, they come up from this.
Yeah, and what is collaboration for innovation?
Collaboration, it's when your partner at least have some percentage of your inspiration with what you're doing. That's the first thing, because you believe in your innovation, and gladfully you will have this kind of sharing positive vibe about it. But during collaboration, you could also invent new methods of application of this innovation. So it will be valuable as for your partners, as for you as a founder, as for the whole strategy that you are building, and for the whole society, yeah, for the whole market.
And what is CollabWith for you?
CollabWith for me?
Yes.
That's amazing community that joined only super detailedly and manually chosen people that already lived with a lot within this kind of partnership. So for them, it's not a new world. They already ready as to share with some contacts, as they already have some product to get inspired other people. But it's not, only people that would like to take something or only to give something. They are more flexible regarding all of types of collaborations. So I like this kind of community because you can find their mentors, you can find their business partners, you can find their friends I suppose this is the best thing that life can propose to us.
Yeah, that's very curious. Like you mentioned our friends, because at the end, you know, when you are at the level of entrepreneurship of founder, you are sharing, sometimes you are feeling very alone because no one understands your perspective. And then maybe this kind of platform, you can find your friends because they are in the same, we can say, marvelous, beautiful, amazing part of the life, which is this kind of entrepreneurship, you know, like people who are really going years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like you have this kind of level of mindset and energy. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And that's super important because, yeah, founders, when you're sitting and doing your startup, it's like, oh my God, I don't see people. I don't have like those friends that really get it because they're doing their things. They're sitting in some offices doing their work. And for our friends from universities, it's super strange to do all of the startup things. But yeah, when you met other startup guys, you just, you can do anything with all of this sharing energy and finding ways to help with each other, because you have some clients that could be great to work with other founders and to cover even more things that you can have right now. So yeah, you could come up with any ideas if you would like to get some fresh ideas how different companies can collaborate. I can write a little ideas about this as well.
Yeah, and what is the thing you are most proud of?
Definitely our partners and clients that believe in us and working with us. Employees that also indicate some amazing thing that we could not see from perspective of helicopter view, and their level, they can see all those tiny things, but it's super crucial when you just look at their propositions. It's like, wow. So all people that in different segments we intersect with, it could be like long-term communication, it could be sometimes one small communication, but I write down some amazing idea and return to it from time to time. So I'm very like all of those sharing with people, and especially from those people who said, I'm not sure whether it could be relevant because it's from other industry. Even it looks like for me maybe not a good idea. And I already said, yeah, I'm ready. I'm here. Yeah, of course, all of those things like you're bad in this, you're bad in those, like all those guys that happen to be. Sometimes I not agree with them, but I need to be polite. But of course, for early ages, it was very useful for us because we get better and better and better. But right now, we covered a lot of things. Yeah, so those types of people are also good to hear them, at least, and to teach within yourself to be grateful for every type of the person that you have. So it's like some kind of religion. Be thankful for everything.
Yeah,
and don't dive into some negative discussion, etc., because it's not worth it. Like I said, thank you so much. Maybe argue after that with your CTO, etc. So it will be internal talk. It will be something that you could talk with during drinking a tea. But that's a part of life. It's the most, I don't know, interesting real show that you are right now. So you have, you know, your own interesting stories, some misunderstanding of the people, but this interesting types of you, how they could see it in this other type manner of the way, how it could be done. But they see. So something needs to be done, at least, I don't know, some phrase there. I have a lot of other interesting stories about this, but one of the amazing that I can share, and it will be like perfectly to every of the other startups, like one of great mentors from Wise Guys mentioned, if you are as a woman pitching to investors and you, for instance, have a long hair, but you share your pitch deck and at the pitch deck you have small, tiny picture of yourself with a short hair, they could be stop hearing you at all, because they will be switched to why she is with a long hair and then she has a short hair. You mentioned the people are so dumb. So please avoid all of this misunderstanding. Like, it was so vivid example, but all of this misunderstanding, it's like when you indicate in one phrase at your main page and another, like pretty close to another page, like be aware of this misunderstanding, and it will lead people to their animal instinct. And as we are working with behaviorals, it's all about this. So don't do all of this misunderstanding and guide people very politely, and don't like make everything super clear and detailed.
Oh my God, what a story. Okay, we continue with the podcast. So now the super quick questions.
Sure.
What is your favorite place for holidays?
For holidays, to cover all the deadlines. That's my favorite place.
Yeah, I am doing the same right now. So like,
I could create some fancy story, but maybe in years, I don't know, Paris or some great city. But right
so,
now,
guys, this is the reality, okay?
Yeah.
There is no holidays. What do your mornings look like? Do you have a routine in the morning?
My little routine at the morning looks like whether I start instantly to some meeting that I forgot about because I was making all of these bookings, but gladfully I have my phone that remind me everything in like 30 minutes and 50 minutes, etc. Or like less percentage of the cases when my neck is making me crazy, because this one of the like every of us has some healthy problem, and sometimes I just could even no sit, no lie, like well, not do anything because I have a horrible neck attack, and I need to do something with this. Like I'm not going to doctors because I have no time even to go there. So I do yoga. that's my thing when I'm at least feeling that it could come, this kind of bad situation with my health. So I making my forecasts about the sales, and I making my forecasts about my bad health regarding the physical health. And I start doing this more frequently if I feel that deadline is coming. Yeah.
Do you have coffee or tea in the morning?
I like coffee. I like tea, but I sometimes also drink coffee for, and it's more like awarding myself for some great job, great work, because I try to eliminate a lot amount of coffee, so I make it a mixture of both.
Okay, now the question, what is your favorite music?
I like rock so much, like all of those Queen, etc. Like,
yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I was even rocker back then during my school period. But my co-founder, he like house electronic music. So right now I'm like mixture of both. So sometimes I have this kind of mood when electronic music is all around us and we are like doing all of those tasks and delegating, like doing our madness. And sometimes the rock is helpful, but mostly for some other types of the day. So it's only depends on my spirit that I feel it or not.
So thank you very much, Victoria. Thank you very much for this answer. Super honest. I think like true reality out there.
Thank you so much. That was a pleasure to speak with you as always. You're amazing. Thank you so much for the whole community building and for proposing me to have this podcast with you. I hope at least some insights could be helpful for other startups. I would be really glad to be in this way.
Yeah, thank you, Victoria.
Thank you for listening to the Business as Collaboration podcast. And remember, if you want to support what we do, then share, subscribe, and leave a review over on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. You can find a summary of this podcast at podcast.collabwave.org. See you next week.